when I haven't seen a movie before, I don't really take notes. I kind of just like get into the movie or try to. Wasn't hard to stay engaged with this one. So yeah, I don't really have a bit. I kind of just want to talk about the movie. So I think maybe let's get into it.
Hey, was this the first time that no one has seen the movie that you're doing?
I think maybe one or two other times, but it's pretty rare.
Okay.
It is pretty rare.
Yeah, because I have to pull up all the character names because I totally forgot everybody.
Yeah, I'm going to let you take care of that.
Yeah, I'm going to be trash at that too.
Yeah. Oops. I could spell most of them, but the pronunciation is tough when you're just reading it to catch what people are actually like phonetically saying. Mm-hmm. It's tough.
Oh, I just straight up couldn't remember.
Oh, there you go. That works.
And I just watched it last night and listened to a video essay about it today.
Yeah, the main guy would go Jung, I think I want to say. I don't know how it's pronounced, but anyway. So yeah, we'll get to that. First off, as you know, I don't know how to start the podcast. So it'll either be talking about how much we want to talk about the movie and then making ourselves stop, or something along the lines of, welcome to Late to the Movies. My name is Ben Holt. This is a podcast where my friends and I get to fill in our movie blind spots. Each week, we'll pick a movie that either I or a guest, or in a rare occasion like today, all of us hadn't seen before and really should have by now. This week, continuing Spooky Subtitles Month, a whole month of non-English horror, we've got 2016's The Wailing out of South Korea, going back to South Korea. Went South Korea, Sweden, South Korea. We're burning, you know, so many forests down.
Can't stay away.
Yeah, the greenhouse emissions in this flight plan that we've created is just terrible. But we're back.
Skyline miles are up.
That's right. We're getting rewards. We're getting diamond platinum status, whatever, on whichever airline of your choice. Anyway, 2016's The Wailing. Lot to say about that movie, but first let's talk about other stuff. Have you guys watched anything good recently? Oh, sorry. Left to Right Question Podcast. Al, your guest this week. You got Noah.
Hi.
And we got Corey.
Hi. I'm Corey.
Well, welcome. have you guys watched anything good recently?
I watched The Wailing yesterday.
Yeah, it was good.
I feel like I watched things recently, but I can't. Nope. Probably just anime, I guess. Oh, I watched the Netflix adaptation of One Piece. Which
I know that came out since last week.
Actually enjoyed it. I don't even like One Piece, the show. And I expected it to be bad because every live action rendition of things are bad. But I feel like they did a decent job. They didn't like overdo a lot of things and make it like really bad, like Cowboy Bebop.
Right, I was going to say that's the last one that I can think of that comes to mind.
Cowboy Bebop, I couldn't make it through more than one episode. I was like, this is too unbearable.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, Noah, you watched anything recently?
I've been watching a lot of stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah. A lot of scary or borderline scary movies, yeah.
Anything pop out?
Let's see, I watched...
Monsters popped out.
Ayo.
Some monsters. I don't think I actually saw any monster movies. I watched this movie called The Sadness. That was like a pretty gruesome. Yeah, it was pretty sad. Gruesome. I think it was a Taiwanese film.
Okay.
Kind of like zombie, but a little bit more messed up and terrible.
Did you like it?
It was okay. Okay. I don't think it was a must-see.
All right.
I watched The Menu, which I thought was okay.
I saw
a lot of good reviews about it, but I thought it was, you know, I don't know.
I thought it was cool.
Yeah, I wasn't super big into that either.
I like a lot of the performances in it.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. Okay. Yeah, that's fair. What else did I watch recently? It was a ton of I saw Jeepers Creepers for the first time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. So I'm mixing it up between.
Are you going to do the whole series?
I don't think so.
I think one was enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, scarecrow looking dude. Yeah.
Who also is like,
he's like a demon. Yeah. Has Justin Long in it.
Yeah. All leading up to the punchline of, you know, at the end where he's, you know.
Yep.
I actually saw that movie. Oh, okay. Creepers.
Yeah. He digs his eyes.
Yeah.
That's where he got those peepers. Creepers. Yeah.
It's like the whole thing.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
Summed up for you.
Actually, the prosthetics and the visual stuff, I thought they really actually did a pretty good job on the creature himself. Yeah, he's pretty creepy looking. Yeah.
There you go.
He's gross.
He's gross. That's what you want.
He's gross. Yeah, it's exactly.
Fucking gross.
Exactly what you want.
It's a real Jeepers Creepers situation. Not horror, but I finally went to the theaters to see Stop Making Sense, the re-release of the 80s Talking Heads concert film made by Jonathan Demme, who we've done his movie Silence of the Lambs on this podcast before. I had already seen it a bunch of times, to me, the best concert film ever made, but I hadn't seen it in a theater before, and it was great. It was really cool seeing it. It's A24 put out a 4K remaster of it. That's what's in theaters right now.
Oh, wow.
Nice. It's really good. Man.
What was the name of it again?
Stop Making Sense.
I write it down.
So good. I just love Talking Heads, and I love that movie. I love Demme, and it looks awesome. And it's just like the tightest a band has ever been live. It's pretty incredible.
Nice.
Yeah. Shot so cool. It's a concert film. There's not a lot to say besides it just looks awesome and sounds awesome. And it's,
Is it mostly just the live concert? It's not like a documentary style.
Yeah. Just a concert.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
That's cool.
It starts when David Byrne walks on stage, ends when the band leaves the stage.
Wow. Okay.
That's it. Yeah. It's, iconic. There's a lot of stuff from it. The big suit thing. People know that. It was referenced in Doug. That's the first time I saw it.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Yep.
I never thought of that. Yeah,
that's obviously a Stop Making Sense reference.
Awesome. I didn't listen to the Talking Heads one.
Yeah, sure.
I watched Doug, so.
There you go. They didn't actually super form until they were in New York, but technically most of the band members went to RISD, so kind of a Providence band.
Nice.
That's when some of them started playing together. So, I don't know. One of the classic CBGB's bands. Yeah, we can claim them here in Providence, as we are tonight, normally recording in Massachusetts, but not now. So, yeah, we're claiming Talking Heads. All right, yeah, let's get into the movie I want to talk about. Cool. As previously stated, none of us had seen this movie, but the reason we're doing it, I should get into a little bit, because maybe this is one that, if you're just tuning in, you haven't heard of before. It came out in 2016. If you're on the internet following, culture writers or film critics, or people who talk about movies, and especially people who talk about horror movies and genre movies, this movie comes up a lot in conversation, in Reddit threads, in lists of the scariest movies of the last 10 years, the last, 5 years, until a couple years ago, I guess. Scariest foreign movies, this comes up on pretty much all of those lists. So I figured, yeah, let's do it. Kind of some signals in the universe. Yesterday I texted you guys I don't even scroll Twitter that much anymore, but one of the first things that came up when I opened Twitter yesterday morning was somebody, I think it was a culture writer, saying that they're disappointed that it's, Halloween season, and they haven't seen any horror movies that have really messed them up lately. It's been since The Wailing since that happened.
Oh, wow.
And that really, put me in the right headspace to watch this movie.
You sent that about 5 minutes before I was about to start the movie.
Nice. That's perfect
timing. I actually started watching it on my phone because I had to keep an eye on the new Daegu.
Oh, sure. Yeah. 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 There's a new addition in the family. I know. And then also just completely separate, I saw yesterday that it was announced that this is going to get a 4K re-release in the US.
Nice.
Spoiler alert, we usually save ratings and full opinions till the end, but I loved this movie, so I want to talk about it. And you guys hadn't seen it before either. Did you know anything about it going in?
No.
Nope.
Cool.
Nothing.
I didn't want to know anything about it because I'll find a way to watch this eventually. To psych myself up to watch it eventually.
You were like, weird Korean film, Corey. And I was like, yeah, okay.
This guy's going to like it.
Yep. I think it was the right choice because
I enjoyed it.
Good.
It was right down my alley.
Yeah. It was extremely my shit also. So I had a good time. I guess any of us are eligible. Do we want to do a 1 minute plot summary? Anyone feel like they got one in the chamber?
Oh God.
For this movie.
This is brutal. So brutal.
Should say it's almost 2 hours and 40 minutes long.
I got it.
It flies by though. Whenever you're ready.
Yeah, I'm going to set my own timer so I can keep myself on track.
Cool, yeah.
Okay, starts off with a police officer just doing his police duties. All of a sudden, murder! And he went to go check out the murder, and there's a bunch of crazy people that are killing people, and they look like borderline zombies in a sense. Then he realizes this keeps reoccurring, kind of similar scenarios where other people are killing other people. And then he tries to figure out who did it, find this creepy lady. The creepy lady's like, the Japanese man did it. And he's like, okay, I'll go talk to the Japanese man. And then he found his daughter's shoe at the Japanese man's house. So he's like, what the fuck? This guy's going to try to kill my daughter. I got to figure this out or like get rid of you. And then things get really fucking crazy. They hire a shaman to try to get rid of the demon inside of their daughter. He attempts to kill the Japanese man. And at the end, he doesn't know what the fuck to do. And shit goes crazy. Everyone's dead.
Pretty much, yeah. I think you probably on purpose left out some of the specificities. Because I do want to say, worth watching. We're going to have to spoil it to talk about
it. A minute is not long enough to describe also what the fuck
any movie.
It's like 3 hours.
Yeah. Definitely worth watching. I think it's just on Amazon Prime. It's on a couple things now.
It was on Amazon Prime?
Yeah. That's where I watched it.
I went, acquired it, plexed it.
Yeah. No, it was on Prime. I think it's on a few things.
Oh.
So I would say at this point, if this sounds interesting at all, go watch it. Okay. So as I was watching the movie, one thing that I was immediately struck by with all that mindset that I mentioned going into it, all the different lists I've seen it on is like the movie that will completely mess you up and ruin your day. It's really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
That was surprising. Reminded me a lot. And so I don't know. Do you guys know the Boss Baby meme as it relates to like movies?
No.
So
I just know Boss Baby's incredible.
Yeah. Sure, just know it's an amazing film.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I think it won all the Oscars and then they just stopped having them.
Mm-hmm. I really like Boss Baby.
Okay, cool. It's a tweet. And if you go and know your meme, I could probably have credited it properly, but you know, it's one of those things people just keep repeating. So it's about someone who compares a movie to another movie in a sort of dumb way, in a very like surface level, obvious, not that in insightful way. And the typed out joke was like, guy who's only seen Boss Baby seeing his second movie. Getting a lot of Boss Baby vibes from this.
Okay. I got you.
Oh, yep. I got the gist of it from looking at a couple of them.
All that to say, I haven't seen a lot of South Korean police procedurals, but the first hour and change of this movie feels almost purposely like Bong Joon-ho's Memories of Murder. In the fact that it is like really bleak. There's a lot of violence, but it's also pretty funny.
Yeah.
And it's a tone that is really hard to walk the line of that is in both of those movies. So I was thinking a lot about Memories of Murder. And then for the second half of the movie, I was thinking a lot about The Exorcist. And good timing, because a new Exorcist sequel is out in theaters. And I think William Friedkin would like this movie more than the new Exorcist sequel, if the reviews are to be believed. Mm-hmm. But there are specific shots from The Exorcist that are lifted and used in this movie. And I don't think that's an accident. This movie rocked. And so you got, neo-noir South Korean police procedural, like Memories of Murder. You got The Exorcist. There's always, there's also zombie shit in this.
Yeah.
There's demon shit. There's a like Eastern religion, shamanism. There's a lot going on, and I love all the different things that just kind of pop up, and some of them stick around. Some of them are sort of let go, and it's just, it all works somehow. And it really, really shouldn't on paper.
I just kept going, wait, what? I'm like, oh, okay, it's a zombie thing. You get bit and then, it passes on. Then I'm like, hold on. Wait, okay, that's like they say he's a ghost. Okay, well, that guy's like a shaman to get rid of evil spirits. And then, the whole time I'm like, it just kept pulling me in like, I want to find out what the hell is going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I felt too. I don't know about you.
Yeah, well, yeah, because like you were saying, like you think off the jump, it's like, it's a viral thing. It's like a zombie infection. And yeah, they just keep like throwing misdirections at you. Like, no, maybe it's this or that. And then you feel like you really don't know until the end. And even at the end, you're kind of like
a diaper eating.
Yeah. There's that guy.
Raw animal.
Yeah. There's the diaper guy.
The diaper man.
That should have been a dead giveaway when the, and again, we're going to spoil this, when the shaman,
was diaper.
Also wearing the diaper.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that and I was like, that's...
I was like, come on, dude. Who else have you seen in a diaper?
Yeah,
like,
nobody wears those anymore.
That's a good point.
Well, like the traditional style diapers. Right. Like it wasn't even like a diaper that you buy at the store.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Cool movie.
Loincloth.
So it starts with the sort of like a policeman gets a call in, or in the middle of the night, he's got to go investigate a murder. It's completely brutal. And you see that someone is sort of like almost catatonic, but has just murdered this whole family and stabbed each of them like 20 plus times. And they go back to where it seems like he killed them and put them in a bag and dragged them from. And there's a huge nest in it. Mm-hmm. And they don't come back to the nest thing.
Which you don't see ever again.
No. And you were a bit ahead of me and you're like, I'm only 10 minutes in and it's already pretty fucked up. And I was like, yeah, that nest is weird. And there's like candles around it and stuff and just trash. And you're like, what is this? And then the next scene is that guy falls down the hill and he sees the guy in the diaper with the red eyes eating raw meat. And I'm like, this is probably what you were texting about. It's like, this is what you were texting about.
Weird nest, huh?
Yeah, weird nest. I was reading some stuff. So the movie ends and you, I don't know about you, and immediately like, okay, I want to know more about some of the context and some of the, maybe the spiritualism that's guiding the creatures that may or may not be involved in this. And I guess there is like these big evil birds from Japan that some Koreans are afraid of.
I mean, yeah, I guess the Japanese probably are too, but
yeah, probably
just some like folklore.
Yeah. It's like a folkloric thing that it's like an evil spirit that is kind of bird-like. And maybe, I guess that's what they're playing on with the big nest, but it's a really long movie and that nest shows up like minute 9 and never again. So I don't know. That guy is always kind of surrounded by trash though. So that's sort of like a nest.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I guess at what point did it sort of lock in for you that like there's, you know, a ghost or a demon at play here? Because I think, like you said, it could be a viral thing. I don't know. The cop finds like some weird plant at the first crime scene. You're like, oh, maybe it's like an infection. Maybe it'll be more like a zombie thing.
I guess when the shaman guy was talking about that's pretty far into the movie, but was talking about the woman in white being a ghost. Cause she only shows up that one time, I think, before that. And then she just kind of disappears. So in my head, I'm like, seems like a spirit or ghost or some kind of weird creature. Yeah. And then he identifies her as that. And I was like, okay, that makes sense. It's more of like a possession, demonic kind of thing than what I thought was happening.
Sure.
Yeah.
Apparently the bird's called Tengu and they're bird-like demons that become almost divine.
There you go. That guy was really powerful.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't die from getting hit by a car too.
No.
Yeah, I was like, I kept thinking I knew what was going on. And then I was like, okay, maybe I don't know what's going on. The only thing that I feel like I really caught on, especially when the diaper thing happened, I was like, oh, this, the shaman's a hoax. Like he's bad.
Yeah.
The Japanese man, I did not know what to think. I suspected him the whole time because of the creepy ass nest and like the room of pictures of all the victims that died. Like,
yep.
That's either way. You're weird. Something's wrong with you.
The room of all the victim pictures. And then also the room of the demonic shrine.
Yeah.
Which should have been
going against him.
He had a lot going against him. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's just a weirdo. He likes that kind of thing. I guess is eventually what some of the people are like, well, you know, we haven't seen him do it personally.
Mm-hmm.
But it does. I mean, it does give you a lot of stuff to be like, maybe this dude's a red herring. But I think one of the really, I don't know, kind of like best things about this movie is that the first option it gives you really early in the film is someone is like, oh, all this stuff's happening because of that Japanese guy, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true.
Yeah.
And two hours and 25 or 30 minutes later. Yes. That is what was happening.
It was funny that you asked me about that because as soon as they were like, oh, the Japanese man in town, I was like, oh fuck, here we go.
Yeah.
Do you mind
talking a little bit about that?
Yeah. It was just like, without going into detail, like, a lot of Korean people still hold a lot of resentment to Japan for their really bad actions in the past. Japan basically like came in, swooped in, took over Korea and stole their women, and now they say that it didn't happen. At least the government does. So people are still, you know, still hold, and a lot of the people that were involved in that are still alive. Like even, you know, I have a friend where his mom moved to Japan during that time. So people still are like have that thought or resentment against Japan. So I noted, like I read a lot of like web comics and stuff. There, my friend Alex will text me and be like, for fuck's sake, we're 7 chapters in and there's already a dig at Japan. and we always joke about that. And then this movie comes and it's like, oh, one Japanese man in the town. I bet he's bad. Yeah, he's bad.
Guess what? He is.
I started to feel good about it when like they thought he wasn't actually a bad guy. I was like, yeah. Oh, he's a good guy. You know, and I was like, I don't know, but still, okay, that's good. It's redeeming. Maybe that's like one of the points. And then when he was bad, I was like,
yeah, there it is.
Yeah. It definitely plays on, even if you don't have that context, like that's why I texted you. Cause it's definitely playing on, this is a red herring because everyone in town has a different rumor about this guy, has heard a different story about how terrible this guy is. And every time you see him, he's like, just quietly fishing or just hanging out with his dog for a while. And then he starts doing other stuff.
His dog that gets brutally murdered
in
his house.
I think that the dog is what got me. It's like, why'd you kill the dog? He's just a dude with his dog. Like he can't be bad.
I mean, the dog was also violently attacking him.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do? Just like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but I mean...
That was a big dog, too.
He did kill his dog with a pickaxe, though.
That's fucked up. That's pretty brutal.
He could have just not been there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well.
Oh, yeah, he did...
Like, he did enter his house.
Yeah. But to be fair, he did find a lot of evidence from that. Mm-hmm. So, legally, bad.
Yeah.
Good move, I'd say, yeah, as far as the movie goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a demon.
Yeah,
I'm not sure how the law works, but I don't think you could have used any of that evidence here if you got it by illegally entering the home. But I guess there's loopholes, you know.
Yeah.
We don't talk about, you know, qualified.
They're in the middle of nowhere, too.
Cops work. And yeah, it's country law. Backwoods law. Mm-hmm. You said that the accents in this were the equivalent of Southern accents, or was just that different from, like, a normal accent?
Yeah, it was like... I could just, like, tell right away. I was like, oh, they have, like, pretty heavy... accents. And the closest thing I could describe it as is like you meet someone from like the South here and they have an accent. Yeah. That's like kind of how it was.
Yeah.
Watching that. It was enough where it was annoying me. Like not because I'm like, oh, I don't like accents, but just because it's like harder to understand.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for me, it's the same amount of understanding. But yeah. Should mention, we haven't talked about too much how this movie looks because it's mostly like there's stuff happening all the time, but I thought it looked awesome too.
Yeah. So there's some really good scenery.
Yes.
Being filmed.
It's in the small village in the mountains and they take advantage of that setting quite a bit. Oh, yeah. It's a lot of woods and, you know, mountainscapes and landscape shots and it looks awesome.
It's very nostalgic. I lived in a tiny village in the middle of the mountains.
Hopefully not all of it was like playing on your memory, but no, just the mountains.
Yeah, luckily no demons that I know of besides a couple of students that I wouldn't question it.
Yeah. So about halfway through the movie, the main cop's daughter, and this is after a few different families have had this kind of thing happen to them, that all the family members are dead because one family member like goes crazy and murders everyone and then kills themselves. Or he just goes catatonic and eventually dies like a kind of excruciating, seemingly like, you know, body wrenching death. It happens to his daughter too. And then that's when they get in contact with the, I keep wanting to say the exorcist, but the shaman. And like, apparently he's the best. He's helped other people around town and he enters the picture. But yeah, leading up to that, it's very, you know, early exorcist stuff with Linda Blair, where she's getting, you know, angrier and more violent. And and the little girl's doing that too. And I think the little girl in this is really good.
She was my favorite actor in this.
Crushed it.
Yeah. She was fantastic.
And that exorcist guy comes on the scene and he's just like, he's the only person that has like designer clothes and is, you know, really direct, and he's confident and carrying himself like he knows what he's doing. And that is not most of the cops or the, you know, even any really of the adults that you've interacted with so far in the movie. So
he's kind of being a dick.
He's being like a dick.
What's in that container? Yeah. Bring it to me. Mm. Okay.
Big, terrible dead bird in that soy sauce. It's fucked up.
I hate when that happens.
Ugh. So this is the worst.
Bird in my sauce.
And yeah, I mean, there's too much that happens and it's kind of boring when we just go plot point by plot point, but I do want to talk about the scene where there's sort of the way it's edited, at least dueling rituals happening.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Where the shaman's doing the exorcism. He's doing a lot of this action, a lot of shimmies, mm-hmm.
a lot of twisting knives and
twisting knives, some
putting
pills.
Blood everywhere.
Yeah. Everywhere and going, yeah, a lot of celebratory noises. And that's like intercut with the old Japanese man up in his cabin doing a ritual as well. And in the moment, it seems as though the shaman's trying to kill the demon, the old Japanese man. At least that's what he's been telling everyone. While the old Japanese man is trying to like completely possess the daughter in time or whatever.
Mm.
That scene is awesome.
Mm.
Yeah. That one left me. I was a little confused after that happened. Cause I'm like, I didn't get what the old man was doing. The Japanese man.
Yeah.
Like I got that that guy was trying to attack the Japanese man, the shaman was, and you know, it was impacting the girl cause you know, that spirit was inside of her or whatever. But I didn't get what the Japanese man was doing that whole time. Like, I thought he was trying to counter it.
I think the movie intentionally, and I don't always love when movies do this, but I believe it is lying to you, the viewer, and it wants you to think that this is a fight between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. And it's not even clear if these are really actually happening at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like the shaman is actually trying to further possess the daughter while the Japanese man is trying to do something to the corpse in the truck. And these are actually not related.
Oh, okay. That would make sense then.
The other thought I had on that was maybe he knew that the Japanese man was going to complete the ritual at night. Like it had to be at night when there's a something moon
the hour
or
of
whatever.
The dog, I think.
Yeah. The hour of the dog. So his only chance at attacking the Japanese man was through the girl when he was trying to do a full possession.
Yeah.
So he was going to kill them both.
Mm. Yeah. Could do. Yeah. As you later find out, they are working together, but it doesn't seem like the shaman is like super like about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he does try to flee at one point and is stopped. You think by the lady in white or whatever, but probably by the demon guy who's like, oh, we're not done here yet. We still got work to do.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't super see that twist entirely coming. I thought maybe it would turn out that this shaman is kind of just bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that I necessarily thought that he was like working hand in hand with the demon and like taking some of the pictures for him and stuff.
No, I didn't think that either. Cause he was like, just because like the ritual thing was working.
Yeah.
And he got like the bird thing. So I was like, all right, well he knows something.
Yeah.
Like he's a douchebag, but
yeah,
maybe he knows what's going on.
Yeah.
But then you think about it and you're like, I mean, he has a full team. They could have just put the bird there.
Mm-hmm.
While he was on his way. And then, yeah.
Messing around.
So it seems like as this is going on, it does seem to you, the viewer, what the movie is telling you is that the ritual is doing something to the old guy. But it is also odd that the old guy is doing his ritual in front of a picture of an unrelated person to the ritual back in town. It's the corpse of the guy in the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And, he starts getting racked with pain, the old Japanese man. And then it seems like he's starting to like bleed out and he stops beating his drum and he's trying to crawl away and he sees the woman in white eventually. And you're not sure what their relationship is. You're not sure who's on whose side. And, that's all really good. And even though you've seen all this demonic shit with the old Japanese guy, and it really seems like he's maybe a demon or something, you also later believe the explanation, at least a little bit, that no, he had all that shit because he's a shaman and the lady in white's the evil person. And
I thought it could have gone either way at any point. I don't know.
Absolutely.
They got me.
And
until the very end.
It all leads up to that awesome final bit where the father encounters the lady in white back back in town, and he's told, like, if you go home now before the crow cries three times, a not so subtle reference to one Jesus Christ, then your whole family will perish if you go back before the crow cries three times. And then she's trying to convince him, no, the shaman's in on it with the demon. The old Japanese guy's the demon. The shaman called the father before this and said, no, the lady in white's the demon. The old man was a shaman. He was chasing her. And you can see all this play out. And yeah. And I like that the lady in white doesn't give him a lot of evidence. She's like, you just have to have faith. Because like The Exorcist, it's not about little girls being possessed. It's about having faith and shaking faith and, you know.
There you go.
Where it'll push you. And he doesn't have enough faith. And he goes back and he fucks it all up.
Yep.
He didn't have any faith.
No, he really didn't.
In like anything.
The guy was a fuck up.
Yeah.
I wonder, I just thought of this when we were talking about it, but I wonder if the evil dude, the evil Japanese man, was trying to take over the body of the little girl. And in order for that to be successful, the shaman had to like complete the ritual and kill the old man's body so that he can like become the girl. Maybe.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's not a lot of definitive answers in this movie. I think there's like, yeah, that totally could be it also.
Mm-hmm. Which I was actually reading the director was like very intentional about leaving things open-ended.
Yeah. One thing that is not left open-ended as the father goes back home and fucks everything up. The deacon, whose name is like 2-3 or something.
Yeah.
I don't remember his name.
Yeah.
I remember them making that joke in the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, is that your real name?
Like, seriously?
Yeah. He's been around in a lot of this sort of begrudgingly, but he's the stand-in for Christianity, I guess, in this movie. And he goes up to a cave and he finds the old man in the cave. And while this is all going on, he has a sort of interesting, not sort of interesting, he has an interesting conversation that's sort of, for a time at least, inconclusive. You know, he shows up with a sickle and a crucifix. And the old man's like, well, clearly you already decided I'm the devil, so there's nothing I can say to prove that I'm not. Mm-hmm. He's like, that's not true. Tell me you're not and show me your true form and I'll believe you. And then the old man lets out that really evil laugh. And he's like, who said, you think I'm going to let you leave?
That got real weird.
Yeah.
And it's that image of him taking pictures. Is like,
then when he starts taking pictures of him, he's like, stop it. He's like, yep, here you go. And then it cuts back to him again. And he's just in full like demon.
Yeah. You know, I love that
body makeup and stuff. And I thought that looked awesome.
Yeah. It was so great.
Yeah.
It was
so
creepy. Yeah. It was really so creepy.
So that poor deacon who was just trying to do the right thing and keeps ending up in bad places.
I didn't really understand why they tried to like, felt kind of forced that sort of like perspective or whatever Christianity or something that they were trying to like push in there. I don't know. See, he didn't really like do anything.
He's the only one who speaks Japanese, so they need him to translate functionally.
Oh yeah, he's the interpreter.
Yeah,
but, I mean,
yeah, for the characters, functionally in the movie. Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
Yeah, him being a Christian, I don't know. It didn't really seem like
to me. It was just another way to tie it to The Exorcist.
Oh yeah, in that sense.
For me, I thought it as another way. For the movie to say that no matter what you bring in or involve, shit happens.
Yeah.
Like sometimes you can't do anything about it, even with religious intervention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for that character who's Christian to accuse him of being the devil, it's a different connotation than other people accusing him of being like a bird demon, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I liked it all. All the weird mashup of all these different genres and even like minute to minute turning from like they're kind of doing like an almost Shaun of the Dead comedy fight with the zombie that won't die.
Oh, yeah.
And then
that was funny.
And then they see the old guy off in the distance, and I guess he's been weakened or something because he seems like legitimately terrified and is like running from this pack of raving middle-aged men that are trying to murder this old man in the woods.
With gardening tools.
Yeah, with gardening tools.
I loved in the scene, they're throwing stuff in the back of the truck to get him. It's like a chainsaw. It's like a garden rake. And they just had a huge, looked like a bone. Just like a giant bone that someone threw in the back.
Blood.
Horse bone or something.
Yeah. And that then turns into I Know What You Did Last Summer because they hit him on the road on the way.
Oh, yeah.
JK, kind of, I guess. I mean, they do hit him, but... Yeah. But then I was reading some threads online and there's some ambiguity. Oh, did the lady in white push him in front of the car? And then it's like, oh, wait, no. Did he throw himself in front of the car?
To try to kill him?
Yeah.
Because it could be anything, I guess.
Yeah. He jumped in front of the car himself. So that way when the father like pushes him over the edge, now the father sinned enough that his whole family can die or whatever.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful shot, by the way.
Yeah, it really is.
With the truck going down the road in the rain.
The rain's always really good nice. In this. Yeah. But yeah, those twisty mountain roads and the rain and that particular truck and it kind of fishtailing, it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, what'd you think of that zombie scene? Because like there's kind of like a zombie vibe to some of the catatonic-y, really like boil-faced people before. Mm-hmm. But this is straight up just zombie stuff for a full scene here.
I thought it was so fun and funny. It just especially the main character's reaction to like, he literally just like basically hides and like cries like a little kid.
And it is very much like, I guess it's a sort of a zombie-ish thing that you can goad him pretty easily. Just whoever hits him last, he stops what he's doing and just attacks that person.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's this guy is dead. So anytime they hit him, he just keeps going.
Yeah. It was very much Shaun of the Dead where they're throwing records at the old woman that's walking into their yard.
Yeah. And like you said, it was fun and it's pretty funny. And that's why it made me think of Shaun of the Dead too. Yeah. Cause they are terrified, but they're doing it like in kind of a pathetic way.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, it did feel a little out of place, but
yeah.
Also like so many sure. so many things in this movie are just like out of nowhere that you're like, yeah, this makes sense.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that's like it's really dire. I mean, I wouldn't say it's necessarily like a completely grounded movie, but it is a lot of it is police procedural and investigating these murders and stuff. And then there is fully these people have to fight a zombie. And that also kind of makes it funny at the same time. It's sort of like earlier in the movie where they see the naked woman outside the police precinct.
Oh, yeah.
And their reaction is funny, but it is also like a kind of terrifying image.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's doing all of that sort of at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And it just works. I don't know. But yeah. Then they chase that guy, goes down the cliff, whatever. They spin out, car crash. To throw him, you think he's dead. He's not dead.
I almost want to watch the last like 20 minutes again.
Yeah.
I might do that.
It's really good. I think it's probably the best part of the movie from when the shaman calls the father, and the father's like, I'm at your place. Why aren't you here? And he's like, you can't leave your daughter right now. You got to get home. Turns out that guy you killed wasn't the bad guy. The lady in white's the bad guy. And then the father's running. He can't find his daughter. He goes out in the streets. And then it's so fucking creepy when he runs into the lady and she's just like waiting on the side of the wall and giving him like really cryptic answers. And
yeah.
What's up?
Yeah.
That was a cool scene.
You have to believe me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure it's the same in multiple versions of spirituality and religion, but that is in, I think, a lot of Christianity too, just because I'm more familiar with that. You don't get straight answers even from like the good, you know, divine creatures.
I mean, that's like religion is the aspect of believing
that's
in something that you really can't prove.
That is one thing he gets a straight answer on is she tells him you just have to have faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you're being tested aside is, you know, the subtext and he fails.
Yeah.
So wait, what would have happened? Well, I guess we don't know.
But I was
going to say, what would have happened if he didn't? Because she had already murdered everyone by the time he got there.
No, well, they were dead. It's because the only reason they died was because he went there before the third crow noise.
And he spoiled the trap.
Yeah, because she set up the trap.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. I think, I don't know if it would have been the same thing that happens to the shaman would have happened to the possessed daughter when she returns. But I actually, because she was back before he was back. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so a little before that, before the shaman tries to run away, he gets to the house and as he's approaching it, starts vomiting.
It's a great scene.
Blood.
I want to mention that scene
like
too.
An insane amount of blood.
It was like Team America World Police, the vomit scene. That's all I could think of. It's just so much.
Yeah. And so that's also like, ooh. Yeah. So you don't know. It does a great job of like, it gives you every reason to think that the old Japanese man is the demon.
Mm-hmm.
And then gives you all these like outs for it, even though the whole time it's been telling you that guy's definitely the demon. And it's like, well, he's making pretty compelling arguments that maybe he's not.
Mm-hmm.
He just really likes keeping pictures of people that happen to die.
And I think
in a locked room in a shrine looking area.
For sure. And I think that conversation about how she set the trap and all the stuff that happens with them out in that alley is so good.
I mean, if it was me, I would believe her over the Japanese man just from going to the house and like,
yes,
the Japanese man's kind of weird. Like,
I think he made a bad choice.
He made a couple of bad choices.
Yeah. But a couple things working against that is just like your instinct is like, I have to go help my family.
Yeah.
And it is obviously excruciating for him to stand still. And then he does what eventually sets him on that path is he notices that the lady in white is wearing a bunch of stuff from the victims.
Yeah. Also a bit concerning. Yeah.
Well, she fucked up there.
Yeah. So there's another thing I was reading about how there's certain guardian spirits for villages that people offer like items to when they're like sick or in trouble or whatever. And so some people were speculating maybe that was what was going on there, is that she had versions of the things that she had been offered for people who were like praying to her or something.
Mm. That makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know. And you know that the grandmother of this guy's daughter, his mother-in-law, is like really into spiritualism, and it's possible she took that beret that he sees on the ground and she's maybe the one who like offered it to this guardian spirit or something, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, and none of this stuff's ever answered or really even hinted at. It's just maybe it's there, maybe it's not. Yeah.
Maybe it's Maybelline.
Yeah,
maybe the whole thing was Maybelline.
Yeah. And today's sponsor, I know.
Yeah, Maybelline, get after us. We can.
Make I don't even know work. If they're still around.
Yeah, maybe it's defunct. Anyway.
Yeah, I like that this movie just leaves you thinking.
God, yeah. Yeah. It doesn't, I don't know. I don't know if we've just like gotten too far around the bend, but like, I didn't find it that scary, to be honest.
No.
Yeah, same.
Didn't find it that scary at all.
Yeah, same. It was more entertaining.
It didn't ruin my day. Yeah, I thought it was like, it was funny and snappy, and it's super long, but we were talking about before, I don't know if we were recording yet, but it just moves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's super long, and I've mentioned the word procedural a lot, but it's like at least every 8 minutes or so, you're seeing something that, I mean, you're not going to fall asleep during this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it didn't feel like a 2 hour and like 40 minute movie.
And as much as I've been referencing other movies, I do feel like there's a lot of stuff I have not seen before in this movie.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
This is definitely worth a rewatch.
It's just great. Yeah. So the specific Exorcist shot that I'm talking about is Linda Blair sideways kind of screaming.
Crack.
Yeah. And like a lot of times when the daughter's being held down or something, they go into that sideways shot, just the close up of her face. I think that's like literally there's new versions of The Exorcist on 4K that is the cover of it, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And they do that shot in this movie a couple times. Mm-hmm. They just do it. But it's great. I get it. You know, it's, Captain America. I understood that reference thing. Yeah. Gets the people going.
Gets the people going. If I have to summarize this movie in two words, it'd be shit happens.
Shit happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was your favorite like single kind of image in this? I like this happens, I think, at the 10-minute mark, but the first time you see the guy with the red eyes and the diaper, and it's from the perspective of that hiker, and he's like climbing over the rock towards him.
Yeah,
it's just good shit.
That was good. That was creepy.
Yeah.
Mine was when the guy transforms at the end.
And
like when he's looking up and he's just like all
he's so happy.
Fucking demon like.
Oh, the demon.
Yeah, and he's just like taking pictures of the dude who's just like
yeah, I was gonna say that too. Yeah, something about him controlling the camera and like trying to snap it with like
really
weird,
creepily.
Like, yeah.
It's such a creepy thing.
Yeah, it was really creepy.
Yeah. There's a lot of good shit in this. I do feel like this is something I'm going to want to watch again and going to want to be like, I know it's long, but you got to sit down.
We're watching this.
Yeah, we're watching this. We're throwing this on. Yeah. You're going to have a great time.
There's just so many movies.
Like I mentioned earlier, it's getting a 4K release in America. I'm probably going to check that out.
It's like going to be in theaters?
And on disc.
Oh.
You know me.
Yeah.
Physical copies.
One of those, like, that's those round things.
Yeah, round things. You put them in a machine.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Some kind of machine. I don't know what.
My Xbox runs them.
Yeah, they do.
Xbox 360.
Oh, so you do have a way of playing Blu-rays.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. If Xbox plays them, right.
Well, we always all give Ben crap because none of us have a way to
play
a Blu-ray.
Derek has a Series X, so he can play 4K. Blu-rays.
He can now, but previously.
Yeah, I just liked this movie a lot and watch it. I guess if you listen this whole time and for some reason and you haven't seen it yet, I'd seek it out. It's pretty easy to get at and it's really interesting.
I give that little girl MVP.
Yeah, she was awesome.
She was really good.
She crushed it. She played like four personas.
That's tough to do, man. She killed it. I want to check out this guy's other stuff. I think his name's Nah, I want to say, the director.
Nah.
And
Nah, it ain't.
His name is apparently he has a couple other pretty well regarded genre movies. This is the one that kind of jumps out, at least has overseas, but he has other, just a quick check. Maybe this isn't completely the case, but it seems like he has other movies that people like too.
Yeah. They're all creepy movies.
Yes. They seem to all be horror. Yeah.
The most recent before The Wailing is The Chaser.
Uh-oh. Look out.
It's got a 7.8 out of 10 IMDb.
That's true.
Which
that's
is like
pretty good.
For IMDb, pretty high.
Yeah.
And then especially for a genre movie, because there's people that are just like, I don't even like horror movies. 1 point.
82% Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay, cool.
That's good. Yeah, that's really
Korean tale about a disgraced police detective turned pimp who becomes involved in a breathless race against time to catch a psychopathic serial killer after one of his girls goes missing.
That sounds fun.
That cop's got a lot going on.
I wonder if it's the same lead actor too.
Yeah. I can't see him as a pimp.
Oh, it's not.
Yeah, he wouldn't make the best pimp.
I couldn't believe
he makes a pretty good disgraced policeman though.
Oh, for sure. I couldn't believe that guy was like a functioning person in society.
Yeah.
He just seemed like
God.
I mean, he's a cop in like a village that nothing probably ever happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just love all the different things it's pulling in. They're talking about sin a lot early. He's having bad dreams. And I think the mother-in-law is like, what horrible sin did you commit to have dreams like that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's just all foreshadowing.
I don't get what him banging his wife in the car being a sin.
Like, was that his wife or was that someone else?
It's he bangs his wife in his car after the nightmare.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, it was the wife. I thought it was a mistress.
No.
I thought so at first, but then after when I saw the wife, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't think that was the sin. I think it's just a thing that's there and maybe that's part of it. Maybe this is just the devil and he's fucking with people.
Yeah.
I think maybe one of the true things the shaman actually says is when the father's like asking him a series of questions and he's like, Why your daughter? Well, you know, when you go fishing, do you know what you're going to catch? No, he's just fishing.
Mm-hmm.
He put some bait out there. Your daughter happened to be the one that grabbed it this time.
Yeah. Which that's what really made me think about that whole concept of like, you know, anything could happen to anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is what the director talks about a lot is like,
yeah, shit happens. Like you said,
shit happens. Yeah.
I think it's probably more that if you want to see this as being about faith and karmic retribution or whatever. That's also in there, but I think it is more just, it's probably more effective too. If it's like, there's no reason that this happened or no discernible reason that this happened. This just happened.
Yeah. This is not his first possession movie with shamans. So I guess there was one last year.
Okay.
Called The Medium.
Oh shit.
In the Isan region of Thailand, a shaman realizes that his nephew's been possessed. However, the goddess that appears to have taken possession turns out to not be as benevolent as she first appears.
Well,
this looks pretty creepy.
Huh. That sounds interesting too.
That does sound interesting.
Yeah.
One thing I was thinking about not while I was watching it, but afterwards is we talked about how from the very beginning you're told it's that guy, he's the one doing it. And that ends up being the case 2.5 hours later. Mm-hmm. And it's basically by the time this person has engaged with the main character, it's too late. Mm-hmm. I think he's told pretty early in the movie. It might be by the lady in white. Like, yeah, if you see that guy around, it's bad. That you've seen him multiple times.
The foreshadowing of what's about to happen. Mm-hmm. It's like you say Beetlejuice 3 times, you're done. Mm-hmm.
And his daughter hasn't even been like a targeted victim yet, as far as he knows. But I do like movies where it's just sort of like the second the movie started rolling, this guy was already fucked. He just didn't learn that for a little while.
Yeah.
And I feel like that has a lot in common with John Carpenter. He has a few movies, especially the 3 movies in his Apocalypse trilogy. Basically, by the time you start watching these characters, it is too late for them. They just don't know it yet.
There's like a seed planted.
I would say a good one to watch after this is Prince of Darkness, if you're going to go with Carpenter. That movie rocks, and it is just about a bunch of people who...
Wait, Carpenter?
John Carpenter, yeah. He made The Thing and Halloween.
Oh, okay.
They Live, just thinking of movies that we've done for him. So I think we've only done those 3 so far. But if he had made a non-English horror, we obviously would be doing it this month. Big Trouble in Little China, not scary, but awesome. Mm-hmm. Prince of Darkness is dope. On a scale of 0.5 to 5, on any scale you're choosing, aside from stars, what would you guys give 2016's The Wailing?
I always forget to think of a rating thing before I...
I'm going to have to go with 4 traditional Korean diapers out of 5.
That's good.
Nice.
When there's so many images in a movie, it almost makes it harder because, like, you want to get a good one.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't want to be regretting it later. Exactly. That you're just like, 4 dumb ones.
Four people that are bad. Movie.
They're in the woods a lot, so sticks.
So much pressure.
Yeah.
I'll do 4 out of 5 dead soy sauce birds.
That's what I was like, that was, if you needed one, I was going to toss that one out. That's a good one.
That's a solid one. Or soy birds? I don't know.
Soy birds. Dead soy birds. I think 4.5 out of 5, maybe or maybe not effective rituals.
Nice. Ambiguous rituals.
Ambiguously directed rituals.
All right, hear me out. Crows, that crow probably tasted really good. Because think about it.
Oh, soaked in soy sauce?
It's fermenting in fermenting soy sauce.
Yeah, probably would be bad. Yeah.
Probably fire.
Take the feathers out.
I'd try it.
One thing that I forgot to mention earlier, that like one of the many things that confused me at the time... But one of the few things that confused me at the time, but then I later understood a little more. After the first time that you see the sort of whole setup with the shaman, but before they do the death hex ritual, they just do like that opening ritual where he's like hitting her with branches and shit.
Oh, yeah.
You see another family that like all this terrible shit's happened to. And you also see like the leftover debris of that same ritual. And you're like, wait, The shaman was there too? What the heck? And then later you find out, oh, yeah. It doesn't actually work. And he's working with the demon.
You also see the same trap that was left.
Yeah.
Actually they go through that after show. Like,
yeah,
I think they show that, right?
Oh, it's like a spider web looking.
No,
thingy.
Like, you know, in like the,
it's like
entryway of his home area. There's like different kind of plants hanging.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Also
when he goes back, it shrivels at the end there.
Yeah. Oh.
I'm assuming the crow was also put there by her to deter.
Yeah, could be.
The shaman. That's why he was like, he didn't go grab it himself. He was like, go get that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. The question this month is...
Absolutely.
Okay. Do you believe in the paranormal? And have you ever had a paranormal encounter or run in or brush against, you know?
That's a good question.
I feel like for me to answer that question, I need more detail on what is considered a paranormal.
I mean, if you have to ask.
I think probably whatever you consider.
I'd say, yeah, I think.
Okay.
Because like paranormal, that's just like a definition for things that we don't understand really.
Okay.
I feel like, and there's definitely a lot of stuff that we don't understand.
That's fair. I've been saying paranormal, but I mean, if supernatural is maybe more specific.
Yeah, both of, but you know.
Okay.
Either one. I feel like a lot of like stuff that used to be supernatural, we now explained what's like science or like discovered. Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like there's still a lot more that we don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
Can't say I know 100% that I have experienced a supernatural thing.
So you're open to it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Just, like I fully believe that there are things we don't understand.
Yeah. You know, yeah. It's, yeah. I always think about, you know, the kind of heliocentric shit and
know,
like people think the earth's flat and, you know, people thought that was like common sense for a while.
Yeah. I mean, people still think that.
True.
Some people.
Just kidding.
Yeah, I guess I'm kind of in the same boat. I feel like I haven't experienced anything that I would define as supernatural, but I've also talked to enough people that I feel like are pretty honest that have said they have had experiences that could be considered supernatural. So I'm open to it.
Well, I mean, you know, in Providence, it's almost Halloween. H.P. Lovecraft's buried here. He was super racist, but he was a spooky dude.
I mean, nothing spookier than racism.
Scary guy. Just there's a lot of old shit around here. People assume things are haunted. Have you ever worked somewhere that people think is haunted? I worked at a pet store once that the manager thought was haunted.
No. Did you have any supernatural or haunted?
I mean, it was weird when some stuff would fall off the shelf, but you just figure, you know, over time, some stuff's weight's going to shift maybe, but it was always creepy.
No ghost dogs or anything.
I haven't seen a ghost dog yet, but.
Yeah, same.
They seem pretty like, cool.
DOG or DOWG?
Oh.
What up, dog? Or like.
Snoop Doggy Dog. Could be a ghost, Snoop Doggy Dog.
Could be.
Yeah,
I'm someone who always tries to like, I want to find out why something happened or like explain it.
Yeah,
but
I don't have any personal experiences, but I'd say I'm also still kind of open to it and have heard a lot of stories. And like I said, growing up here, there was, you know, you could go online and Google the town you're in and be like, you know, plus ghost stories and stuff pops up. In New England, like anywhere in New England, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this isn't like a super interesting story, but I did go when I worked at Papa John's.
Yeah.
I went with one of my coworkers to Paul Dever.
That place is creepy.
And he brought like, he had like ghost finding equipment, like the electrometer, or I don't know what that's.
Mm.
It was a little creepy. I mean, I've been there a bunch of times at this point.
Yeah.
It did get like, some stuff did get kind of weird. Especially like on camera and like the electric meter thing. Yeah. It would like spike here and there a little bit, but nothing like too crazy.
Yeah.
And like a pretty crazy thing happened while we were there that made us not worry about ghosts at all.
Oh.
Someone made an ammonium bleach bomb. And they were on the floor above us. So we started hearing stuff and like, we heard someone like throw something down and he was just like, "Hey assholes, cut the shit," or something like, and, when we heard that thing fall, he like turned on the flashlight and he was looking and someone yelled down. They were like, they said a name or something. And we were like, no. And then it smelt weird. And he had his flashlight and he's like, "Oh, run, 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 run." And we just took off and all of a sudden it was just a boom. It was like a old like plastic container that they mixed
Whoa. The
two, because you could smell it, like, and that's super toxic.
So we just blocked
like our faces weapon. And
that's scary.
Ran.
Okay, so that's a pretty scary thing that happened in a place people think are haunted.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it was like a nefarious thing. Like, they were just like, oh, we're in Paul Dever. Like, yeah, nobody's
there's
no one here.
Yeah.
Or they were trying to kill homeless people. I don't know.
Right, yeah, maybe. Anyway, we love the whaling.
Speaking of capitalism, you can find us on
Linktree. Go to linktr.ee/late-to-the-movies. Just spell it out. All the stuff's there. You can even email Noah. I think there's a link to
email
from there.
Do it.
And that's
send your spookiest stuff.
Send your spookiest stuff, which of course we always mean nudes when we say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spookiest nudes
of ghosts.
Yeah. Show not me of you.
Standing outside of PlayStations.
Your boobies.
Yeah. Emphasis on the boo.
Very on the boo.
Whaling's good. Go watch it.
And you can't like give out too much because it's a movie that gets you thinking, you know?
For real, yeah.
And we could just continually keep thinking of new
like,
things.
Like, oh, and then this thing happened and it was cool. And and then at that point, you're just wasting time not watching the movie.
Yeah.
Let's check it out.
Check it out. We really liked it. It gave us a lot to think about. We couldn't even fit all of it in this episode. It'll give you a lot to think about, too.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, late to the movies.
I'm really going to cut it there because that's too perfect not to.
Yeah.
Thanks, Corey and Noah.
Thank you. Yeah.